And let's start reading in verse 35. Jesus is speaking, and he says, and he said unto them, when I sent you out without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Jesus is basically laying out an entirely new way that missions are going to be done as far as they had known it. When Jesus sent out the 70, and then he sent them out again, and he sent them out preaching, he told them, don't take anything with you. Don't take any money. Don't take anything. Just go, and wherever you go, you'll just move in. You'll just live there, and if anyone's worthy, they'll feed you, and if not, you'll find somewhere else. And that's basically what they did. In other words, you're going to go, and you'll be supported by the people you preach to. This is basically what he taught them. Well, when he's about to be offered up, he says, look, now things are going to change. You're going to do things differently. And since then, we've done things this way. And that he says, now, if you have any money, you better take it. And if you have a coat, well, you better take it. And if you don't have a sword, you better sell what you have and you better buy yourself a sword. And because what he's basically saying now is, what you're going to do is you're going to go and you're going to preach the gospel for free. And you're not going to be supported by anyone where you go to preach. And so basically that's what we do. Well, that is essentially what we do now. We go and we go to Toluca and we go to Poland and we go to these places and we preach for free. We don't charge anything. We don't accept anything. We don't receive anything. And the reason we do this is because of this teaching of Jesus Christ. And then later it's confirmed by Paul in 1 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, he deals with it a little bit. And the teaching is that we preach the gospel for free. And so you receive the gospel for free. It doesn't cost you anything to hear the gospel preached. Now this is very important to us. It's one of our very important principles. And we're very adamant on this. We do not receive money from anybody for preaching the gospel in Mexico. We preach there for free. Now Paul, he did this also. This is his principle. I mean, he went and he preached and he didn't receive anything from where he was ministering. And so, you know, we basically follow this example. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he teaches that by doing so, he becomes a participant of the gospel. He becomes an investor. Because if you go and you preach the gospel and you receive offerings from the people you preach, then you've received what is due to you, but you've done nothing above the ordinary. In other words, it's basically what Jesus taught in the parable of the servant. Jesus taught that the servant who does only what is expected of him, he's done what he should do, but he's done nothing more. And so he has to say, I'm an unprofitable servant, for I've only done what is required of me. So Paul teaches that what he did was that to do more, to go beyond the call of duty, then he preached the gospel for free, and so then he was owed to. And then God says he's going to strike all debts. And so basically saying, God owes me. Now the churches in Paul's time, well, they got a hold of the idea. And so then they started giving offerings to Paul because they don't owe Paul anything. See? So they give offerings to Paul, and so they become also investors in the gospel. See, you should give offerings to your elders. You owe them, but you don't owe us. So when you guys here in San Antonio give offerings to us, well, you become also investors in something. You are doing more. You are beyond the call of your duty. And so that's what Jesus is basically teaching. That's not what I want to talk about, but just kind of give you a background about what he's talking about here. He's basically laying the groundwork of a revolutionary idea. I mean, this is something that has transformed the world. And so this is a very serious moment, and he's dealing with this and talking also about his crucifixion. And then he's saying, you know, he's saying, look, you know, things are going to change. I said, don't take money. Now you need to take money. I said, don't take garment. Now you need to take. I said, don't take a sword. But now, you know, you need to take a sword. And so the apostles, while he's trying to give this discourse, they're off rummaging around looking for swords. And then they pull out two. Look, we got two. And Jesus says, it's enough. I don't know if you've ever had enough. You know, if anyone who has kids knows what it is to have enough. I have had enough. You know, we drive up from Mexico 17 hours, and I got three kids, and they're in the back, and I don't know what it is about kids that they have this idea, this notion that one seat is better than the other seat. And it's never the same seat. I could see, you know, if I had three lawn chairs and one plush chair, and everyone wants, but they're all the same. Believe me, I've sat in them all. They're all the same. But they always fight over who gets what seat. You know what? First they want the one with the power door because the other side doesn't have it. So then they're all fighting. Then they want the back seat. I want the back seat. Then no, I want the other seat. And it's a constant struggle on the trip of who gets to sit where. I called it. And I don't know why that means anything for children. You know, if I called it, you know, basically that's like a binding contract if you call it. I called the back, Dad. I was the first one. And it's just finally after 17 hours you say, you know what? I've had enough. I've just had everyone sit on the floor. It's just enough. Have you ever just had enough? Well, you know, Jesus, he gets to this point and they're all like, look, Lord, we got two swords. We only lack 10. I've had enough. It's enough. You know what I think? I think that God has just sometimes just had enough. I think he's just had enough of all the petty fighting in the churches. Just had enough. I mean, we got a great work we're doing, and yet we're distracted with stupidities. It's just constant bickering and fighting over what? I mean, we got this one church in Mexico, and one of the ladies who's one of the bigger givers to missions. Her daughter, she fornicates, and then they're gonna get married, and so she's gonna have a big wedding, and gonna wear a white dress, and some of the brothers are all mad because she's gonna wear a white dress. And so she leaves the church because they don't think she should wear a white dress. It's enough! It's just enough! I mean, what are we talking about? This is stupid! It's just all these divisions and fightings, and all this distraction, and I think God is just saying, you know what? I've had enough! You know, the devil understands this. Jesus said he did. His house is not divided. Jesus said if his house was divided, it would not stand. But we are. Now that ought to be ashamed of us. The devil and the demons, they're all in agreement about this issue. They're all together. There's no division amongst them. And yet the Christians, we're all sitting around fighting and spitting on each other over stupid things. And it's time that we all grow up and say, you know what? It's enough. It's just enough. Yeah, there's some things you're not going to like. Some people leave churches because they don't like the songs that are being sung or the way they're being sung or the music instruments that are being played. You know what? It's just enough. I don't like every song that we sing. I don't like half the songs in the supplement. I just don't like them. You may love them. Great. What are we going to do? We're going to sit around. We're going to fight over the songs we don't like. You know, it's just enough, brothers. Amen. It's enough. I think it's enough of our petty immaturities. And I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to me also. Getting our little feelings hurt because someone doesn't like you. Or because someone said something mean to you. You know, it seems like we do not tolerate this from our children. It's just enough of all our bad attitude. You know, I have a rule in my house. In my house, my kids are not allowed to be unhappy. It just isn't allowed. Because they have no reason to be unhappy. None. They have the best dad in the entire world. They should be ecstatically joyful every day. They should walk around with a smile that just comes up to their ears. You know, the mom, well, you know, well. But hey, the best dad in the world. They should be happy all the time. They get this little cry going on because something doesn't work out for them. And I tell them, you know what, it's enough. Now I have an implement in my home that gives joy. And it works incredibly well. You just give them a couple whacks on the butt with it, and it's amazing how happy they get. In my home, I don't know if my granddad's father called it that, but my granddad Dale called it that, call it the happy board. Because man, it puts smiles on kids' faces. Sometimes they don't even have to use it, just pull it out and they just start smiling. Dad, we're happy. You know, we got all these Christians walk around with this bad attitude. You want to talk about missions? You know, it's not just about preaching. It's about our testimony. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of the most attractive things about Christianity is the joy it puts in our hearts. And I don't think we as Christians have a single cause not to be happy. I mean, really. You say, well, I do. You don't know my situation. That's what my kids say all the time. And then that's what I say to God. Well, it's because you don't know my situation. And God's saying, Michael, you don't have the least little bit of reason to be unhappy. So I say, it's just enough. Just enough of the bad attitudes. But you know what's enough of the smallness? Thinking small. Everything, you know, this lack of faith and this smallness that we just dwell in every day. It's like these guys, you know, they're out on this desert island and they got one coconut left and they flip a coin over it and the guy who loses, well, he finds a genie bottle and he rubs it and the genie comes out and says, I'll give you a wish. He says, I want the coconut. That's how we pray. I want the coconut. And you just see God saying, it's enough. It's just enough. You got that guy, he comes up to Jesus, and of all the people pushing and shoving to get in to ask something, he finally gets in there and got in Jesus. What do you want? Tell the brother to split the inheritance with me. Basically saying, I want the coconut. You know, what's wrong with you? You have this opportunity right now to ask and receive. And this is what you're asking for. You know, I look at our prayer meetings and some of my prayer requests, and they're just pitiful. Just pitiful. I need a raise, and you know, I'm not saying we can't pray for these things, but you know, is this the depth? Is this the depth of our spiritual longing? Jesus says, you know what? It's just enough. You need to think bigger. You need to think bigger. You need to lift up your eyes and think of something greater than yourself. Ask for something bigger than yourselves. We have this tremendous job to do. I mean, it's just huge. It's unfathomable how big a job it is, and there's so few people actually doing it. I mean, it's not like we're all, you know, all the Christians are all shoved in there, and we're all elbowing each other trying to get at the, you know, do the work. Believe me, the field is wide open. These people talk about, well, I'm trying to see where I should go and, you know, what kind of ministry. Look, it's not like, you know, you gotta squeeze in. You can pretty much just, you know, go anywhere. You could just throw a stone and it would be fine. And yet we have our eyes so small and so little and we're so distracted. You know, I think God is saying, you know what, it's enough. It's just enough of all the worldliness. How is it that having such a tremendous responsibility as this church has, and I believe this church has more responsibility than pretty much any other church I know. And because we understand. Look, you know, I thank the Lord for all the other Christians, you know, and they're doing what they think they ought to do. But look, I haven't found many doing what the Bible says to do. I mean, as far as, you know, really, really working at trying to win souls, really sending out missionaries. They send some money to some people, but, you know, sending out their own, actually taking part, actually shouldering the burden. There's not many doing that. But this church understands it, which makes us more responsible. More. And how is it that we're just so wrapped up in worldliness and in, you know, in the love of this world and the things of this world? I think God's just saying, you know what? It's enough. It's just enough. It's just enough of the complaining. It's just enough of the distractions. And look, I know I'm distracted all the time. I live in a constant state of distraction. And God's telling me, Michael, it's enough. It's just enough. You know, I'm these apostles. Hey, look, two swords. When are we going to realize that it's enough? You know what? I think God's saying it is enough of the sin. It's just enough. We just like it so much. And we just roll around in it. You got some of you young people who are doing things on the internet you should not be doing. And it's not just the young people. We've lost whole marriages over the stupid internet. You got these women going on there chatting with who knows who. You know, Sexy Love 99. And they're on there chatting away. And they think they're going to find some meaningful relationship. What a bunch of nonsense. You say, well, that would never happen to me. You'd be surprised. You would be surprised. You need to say, long before, it's enough. It's just enough. When are we going to do this? Are we going to bicker and fight amongst ourselves all the way to the rapture? Or are we going to say, it's enough? You know, you're going to have hurt feelings. And what you have to do is you have to say, You know what? I'm going to resist the devil today. That's an incredible thing about that. You can't necessarily whip him, but you can resist him. And for some reason, he has, I don't know if it's vanity or what it is, but he can't take it. He just can't take, if you just say, well, I can't beat you, but I'm not going to fall down either. Hit me, pummel me, but I'm not going down. I'm not going to get my feelings hurt. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to leave. I'm just going to stay. I'm going to resist you. And if you resist him, he'll flee. Amen. Why? I have no idea, but it works. It works. What are we going to say is just enough? Well, I think we should say it today. Amen. I think I should say it's enough to many things in my life today. I need to say, you know what? Not tomorrow. Not a little bit more. I just want a little bit more. Just take that cold turkey stance and say, it's just enough. Amen.